You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Around 7:45 last night, a chill winter's night, as I walked home from the bus, I came across the Protect Ihu Mātou live Instagram feed. Those on the front lines were reporting a significant increase in police numbers, a continuation of what they had seen Sunday morning, but this time, in the dark, and just when a number of protectors had left for the night. It escalated as reports came through that police had separated the group holding the front line from the rest of the people who were holding the main tent.
Kia ora whānau. So we've had the police form a line between our old front line and our new front line. And we need to keep everybody toe. So we've got a little bit of movement now, and what we need is numbers. We need people here right now.
Picture it like this. Following the escalation on Sunday morning, the police then agreed for the protectors to move their front line forward. They had gained ground. So there was a stretch of space between the main occupation area and the front line, which was now in use. It was difficult to understand entirely what was happening through the live feeds, but the call had been made. The Seoul occupation were urgently asking people to come and to be on the whenua and stand with them at this moment. Reports had come through that Panya had been pushed, that police had attempted to trespass someone, and it seemed they would continue.
Police brutality! You just knocked Paddy over! Oh, there he goes! Two more! He's a senior sergeant!
More reports came through that live feeds were going to be shut down, suggesting signal jammers were being used by the police. There was still no clear reason as to why this had happened, and why this had happened now. General Manager of 95BFM, Caitlin McElhacker, had started covering Ihu Mātou when the first inklings of unrest became clear, back when she was a news volunteer some years ago. Caitlin messaged me at 8:11, asking if I had seen what was happening. By 9:30, we were at Ihu Mātou. Upon arrival, it was clear the place was swarming with police. Police cars lined Ihu Mātou Quarry Road as we walked up. Once we were through the large blockade set up to keep those very vehicles out, it was clear people were on alert, trying to understand who was moving out in the far corners of the paddock, and if it was police, how many were there. We continued to the main occupation area. The occupation continued to be operational. Kai was being served and hot drinks. Music was playing, keeping people's spirits up. The fires were burning, keeping people warm. Organisational conversations were being had as well as whakawhanaungatanga. And yet, meanwhile, there was a major standoff just outside the main tent. The police had managed to isolate the group holding the front line and separate them from everyone else by driving two police cars onto the road. A group of around 100 people standing together faced that line of police, who were backed up by those two police cars. This group was calling out to another group, about 100 metres away, in the dark, surrounded by more police. Their fire was burning, but there was also no indication as to how long they would have to be there. The police were not letting anyone through. Police were lined up along the area by the tent and along both sides of the road, keeping people at bay from the field side as well, the field which has been fully occupied now for 2 weeks. Caitlin and I moved around the side into that field and walked closer to the frontline group. A small group of supporters had gathered there to speak directly to them, as well as speak directly to the police.
I can see it in a lot of the officers' eyes. You have doubts about what you're doing here. I hope you for that look.
Make a line over there! Line up, people! We're in our four lines like yous.
You have nothing to fear from us.
Yes!
Okay! That's right. Police, why are you escalating this? We have been a bastion to the world on how peaceful protests are meant to work. The whole world has been watching how Ihu Mātou has been playing out, and now you're changing this. What happens tomorrow?
What's the matter, Mano? What's the matter?
We're just trying to protect the people.
Stay alert.
I can never go home without the Hamari and the Mari.
these tactics, they're unethical. We have the right to be here. So you understand that, eh? Under the Bill of Rights, we have the right to be here. So what you are doing is not legal. It's not ethical. It's financial. The only motivation for you being here is financial. We are on the side of morality right now. We are trying to change not just New Zealand, but the world. And our kaupapa this far has led the world. We've been showing how to run a peaceful protest. Why are you escalating this? You were all talking to us the other day. Just the other day we were out here having a kōrero with my kids. Now what? Now you have... It's way unnecessary. This is a clear escalation. Why? Is it because you're sick of being here? Is it because you know we're not going anywhere and you don't want to be in the cold any longer and we don't care? Is that why? Is that why you're escalating? Is it because not enough of you believe in what you're doing, so your bosses are like, we better turn the tide before you guys turn the tide? Is that what's happening? Because I have to ask myself, after 2 weeks of one of the best protests that New Zealand, the world, has ever seen, why the hell are you doing this on a Monday night? You are cutting us off from our leaders, okay? A tactician does that. Someone who has studied the art of war knows, cut the front line off from supplies. That you're using the art of war against peaceful protesters.
As we stood there, people got restless. They were frustrated. They couldn't understand why they had been separated from their people. They were worried about the isolated group, worried if they had enough warmth, water, and food. Worried about their sleep deprivation. Remember, it's dark, windy, and cold, and the rain comes and goes.
But you guys are operating the art of war right now, cutting us off from our people, not allowing us to change.
The police's statement for being here was to maintain order and peace.
You are escalating the situation.
Let our people come through. They need a rest.
Let us unite with these people. Come on. I see it in your eyes, police. You've made the wrong decision tonight.
Can you let us unite with our people, please? We're okay.
It was Panya who responded on the loudspeaker, telling them to stay peaceful, speaking to the front line she is standing with and the group of supporters on the other side of the police 100 metres away. Panya is one of the cousins who started Soul. She has been one of the faces of this movement from the beginning, with a core group of people. When this occupation started, they laid down the kaupapa as being peaceful and positive. They were protecting the land and that was it. That would be how they respond to anything and everything. That is what has happened for 2 weeks. And people were hurt by this change of tactic and change of behaviour by the police. You can hear it in their voices. After some time, a group of young wahine joined the side group and began to sing. It was their way of joining with the group on the front line, a connection through song and through wairua. It kept everyone warm.
Oh, That's right. You know us. You know us. You definitely feel us. That moves through. And you can feel the aroha over this side. You can feel it. We're trying to save the world here. Join us. Kia ora.
From here, Caitlin and I move right to the back of the front line, still in the field. Here we see another small group attempting to pass blankets and umbrellas over the rock wall and through the trees. Here was a young Māori man, 15 years old. Later I would see him right on the front line. He was speaking directly to the police, eloquently and with passion. He wanted to understand the law that allowed this. He wanted to understand why the police use force against them. He said, "If I ever bet my partner, you would be the first to arrest me." He asked, "I want to know who was there to stop you, to protect you from yourselves." No one answered. This continued for some time, a standoff, both sides unrelenting, no one backing down. Panya and Kiani, another founding member of Seoul, continued to talk to the police, back and forth. The police continued to change shift, marching and moving, back and forth. The people sang, the wind blew, the fires burned. Every time there was a conversation, Panya would come and update the different Orpu waiting, standing, protecting. You can hear the rain in this clip.
Shot, Panya.
We are positive.
Kapai.
We are working on a de-escalation plan. The Pihimana know, but they do know that if we don't find an outcome, that we don't know how much longer we can hold this line. For now, stay strong, Pano, stay warm.
Kapai, Panya.
Finally, some movement. The side group was able to move past the line and join the front line. The numbers in the isolated group had swollen. It was tense, but it was calm. Again, the wind blew. The people sang. The fires burned. We waited.
We've come this far, Tana, because our kaupapa is about homo. It's about peace, and it's about the protection of our whenua, because we are kaitiaki. All we're asking for is the police to de-escalate. They need to reduce their unnecessary numbers because this is uncalled for. We came together tonight to whakamoimiti as we have been since the time we arrived here. The police numbers increased. There were threats of arrest. We are asking Stuart Nash, Wally Omaha, to call off this police presence. This is intimidation. Our kaupapa is peaceful. We are passive resistance. We are land protectors. We have whānau here. We are asking you, the only way to end this is to de-escalate your numbers so we can continue to be the kaitiaki that we have been for many generations.
And then again, movement. Panya announced the isolated group would be able to join again with the main group back at the tent. The swollen group walked forward, a solid group, steadfast and unwavering, walking back to their people. Those on the immediate front line remained. It was this moment Panya was walking behind the group and I managed to grab her for a minute.
Hey Panya, got 1 minute for BFM?
Oh, okay, yep, 1 minute.
What just happened tonight?
Just before we were about to start whakamoimiti, our time of prayer, the police increased their presence and they threatened to trespass us and arrest us off the whenua. And so we put the karanga out and people from all around Tamaki have arrived. There's hundreds of people down here in defence of the whenua. Everyone's still peaceful and positive though. We're trying to look for a de-escalation plan. We're asking the police to reduce their unnecessary numbers. This is totally uncalled for.
you were shoved into the fence, kei te paikui?
I'm okay. It took me by surprise. I was just coming in because I knew there was a minor on the front line, and his mum asked me to go and check to see if he was okay. And I came through the passageway that we had always been accessing, and unfortunately I was shoved by a police officer with the fence. But I'm okay. My wade was still intact, and we're still positive down here.
So what's happening now before you go?
At the moment we're just trying to hold our whenua.
Because there was a separation between the groups, are you trying to relink everybody?
Yeah, so there was a separation. All we're asking for now is to join up our groups so that we're able to do a karakia to lift the hara that has been placed on us and the whenua tonight.
Kia ora. Thanks.
The police line had moved and the people grouped around the police cars all along the road, from tent to front line. And then they turned to face the line of police they had been facing all night, from different perspectives, now as one. By now it was just on midnight. The tension had broken. There was a feeling of relief. There were cries of celebration.
I'm so proud, so happy.
But still we had to wait. Pania kept us informed though. She moved along the line telling every few people over and over, explaining everything.
So we're just making space for our whānau to come through so we can all have whakamoemiti together. And during our himine, the police vehicles are going to leave. And they're going to reduce their numbers, and then after that we can all go home and have a good
moi. Do you want us to stay here?
Pardon?
Do you want us to stay where we are?
Yeah, oh, we're just going to make some space for all our whānau at the back there to come in front of the vehicle so they can safely get the vehicles out of here.
That's the side of the car, don't carry on down. That's the side of the car.
We're just having kōrero with the police at the moment. What we're asking for them to do is to give us a commitment that they're going to reduce their numbers and move their vehicles to the side, and to allow us to finish our whakamoemiti, because tonight our whakamoemiti was interrupted, and they formed a line blocking off the front line and our kitchen, and we weren't able to have our whakamoemiti. So once we get the commitment that they'll reduce their numbers and allow us to have our whakamoemiti, we'll then look at de-escalating and asking our whānau to return home to energise for a new day, our pōpō, and to stay posted. But we're waiting for that commitment. Auntie Steph is just talking to them now. Guys, de-escalate. Their numbers are going to reduce. We're going to have our whakamoemiti, and during our himine, the vehicles are going to leave. And so too will the unnecessary numbers that of police that are here as well. So ka pai whānau. It's a success. So we're just making space for all our whānau to come together. We'll, Papa Luke and Kerama will lead our whakamoemiti. We'll have our himine, and then we're all good to go home and recharge and have a good moi. Thank you all, whānau, for being patient and being mina, kaitiaki, and good tupuna.
Before whakamoemiti, though, a special guest arrived.
Te atua te kaihana, nana ihana.
Stan Walker had joined the Protectors.
Kaihana I know the peace speaker. I know him by name. I know the peace speaker. He controls the wind and the rain. When he says peace, be still, you have to obey. I know the peace speaker. I know him by name.
Oh, two more votes.
Yeah. Do you want to hold your thing? Coming all this way. Oh, just rest
another key out here. Do you need? Whanau ma, hold
your line. Kia ora whanau. What an honour and a privilege to be here tonight. With our whanau, he has one whanau. And I know many people have come from all corners of the earth and all corners of Aotearoa. I know it's little, but we're all here together, whānau. What a beautiful display of kotahitana. We stand two sides, but we're still one people. We wear different things, but we're one people. We might be different breeds of people, but we are one race. We are the human race. And we will always stand for what is right. You fellas have been the example of that, standing for what is right here tonight, whānau. We're going to make history here, and this time in Ihu Matao. And I know people are getting scared and people are starting to complain, like, oh no, this is going to open a whole can of a lot of things around Aotearoa, and so it should. So it should. No longer are we going to be just scrambling for crumbs, we're going to get the whole loaf, whānau. Because we are entitled to it, not because we own anything, but because we protect and we belong to the land. The land is us, we are the land, the people are the land. And when people start understanding that it's not a thing of ownership and a name on a piece of paper, way before the piece of paper came, we were already here. It's Kaitiaki. And today is a great day for us, whānau. It's a great day for our country, because we're going to make history here. We're part of a new revolution, whānau. So kia kaha koutou, stand strong, be together as one, and do it in grace and peace and in harmony, whānau. I learned this great saying that I'm still trying to apply to my life. Slow to speak, quick to get angry, but be quick to listen. Kia tau te rani māri, whānau. Kia tau te rani māri. They might aggravate us, they might push us, they might do things, but do you know how we're going to win? We're just going to be living. We love you fellas too. Love. We always talk about love is the answer, love wins. That's how we're going to win, whānau. But together, we all need to be together here as one. Sorry, my English is bad, aren't I?
We love you, Stan.
But we're here to tautoko. We're here to be here.
He then moved to the front line and sang directly to those who had been holding for hours now. From this point, spirits were high. The protectors had stood their ground. They had regrouped. They had maintained their peaceful kaupapa. It was the police who backed down.
They have reduced the number of police presence here, because I'm sure they've recognised that they've made a mistake. They've agreed to allow us to continue to have our whakamoimiti, because just before we were going to have our whakamoimiti this evening, they formed a line to block off the front line from the rest of the camp. And so we'll continue with our whakamoimiti, and after that they've agreed to remove the two police vehicles from the whenua that we used to pull us in. After that, their numbers will reduce and they'll keep the same numbers that they use regularly during their shift. So at this time, we're going to have our whakamoimiti. After that, we'll have our himene, whakaria mai, and then the vehicles will leave, the police numbers will reduce, and then our whānau are welcome to go home and re-energise. and keep warm and safe. And we ask that you keep posted to our kaupapa for future updates. We also ask if you are able to make it out to a national action plan near you, and that would also be great. I'll now pass it off to our ministers, Kiriama and Papa Luke, to close us off with Whakapoe meeting tonight. But can we all just give ourselves a round of applause?
It was after 1 a.m. by the time Caitlin and I left the whenua. The emotion and adrenaline from the night was slowly subsiding. There was still an eerie chill in the air. Police cars continued to line the road as we made our way out. The question of why the police acted this way had not been answered. There was also the question of whether the police would try this again. What was clear, though, was the people were not going anywhere. Those on the front line had called for supporters, and the supporters had come. They had succeeded this time, and there was the belief they would succeed if it happened again. But I felt the most important question was, how many times does this have to happen at all?
Bro, this movement just grows bigger and bigger and bigger. When the sun rises, if you haven't cleared this field will be full again.
We will never give up our rights to fight for what's right. Oh no, we will not, we will not.
Tactics, you got it wrong with this one.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.